Okay, so somehow, let's start. Just maybe I want to thank an organizer which gives me an opportunity to speak today on this conference. It's really interesting to me to participate in any event where mathematician goes and grows. Okay, so let G be a reductively algebra, and then we could try to say something about some subalgebra of it, say reductive. There is an interesting notion of a GK model, and here we want to say something about it. But to say something about GK model, it turns out that we should start with just saying something about just G model. But I suppose that I have to pronounce the definition by myself. That a GK model is a G model which is locally finite as a K model. Really, the best way to understand it, and this is precise way in the case of a simple model, is to say that GK model is a G model which is a direct sum of a finite dimensional K models. Usually infinite direct sum of a finite dimensional K models. Okay. Two element of a sum model M corresponds rate of growth of this model in this element of this model. And we could consider simultaneously all such rates of growth for all possible elements of our model and determine rate of growth of model M itself. It happens so that this rate of growth could not be completely random. For example, if we consider G equal to SLN, then R of M, if it is not zero, so it is the same we said that if this model is not finite dimensional, then this rate of growth could not be less or equal than n minus 1. Okay, and really it is some corollary of such statement, which I don't know for sure to whom I should assign it, maybe to Gaber, maybe to Bernstein, someone. That rate of growth of model M is greater or equal than half of rate of growth of UG quotient by annihilator of M. Okay. So now we try to say something about such well-known topic as primitive ideals of UG. So first of all, definition. Primitive ideal is an annihilator of a simple model. It is well known that for any primitive ideal spans an nilpotent orbit in G star. Moreover, it is still well known result that the associated variety is irreducible and consists just from one point. One could easily describe all orbits, say, in SLN just via Jordan normal forms. But it turns out that from time to time, it is not the best way to think about them. From time to time, it turns out that the best way to think about them is to use theorem of Roger Richardson, which said that really a significant part of set of coadjoint orbits are birationally isomorphic to conormal cotangent bundles to partial flux varieties. And all orbits in SLN are of this kind. In particular, it means that we could just parameterize nilpotent orbit using some parabolic subgroup, and the dimension of this nilpotent orbit would be equal to twice the dimension of the nilpotent radical of this parabolic subgroup. In particular, the nilpotent orbit of minimal dimension in SLN has the dimension 2 multiplied by dimension of projective space of dimension n minus 1. So the smallest possible partial flux variety. Okay, now we want to introduce some maybe not so standard notion, which really I think appear first in work of Ivan Penkov and Vera Sarganova, a notion of bounded model. A GK model is bounded if it is bounded as a K model. So just let's forgot this formal definition and just think about simple model. For a simple model, it means that the any fixed given simple K model appear in direct sum, which is M, only finitely many times. So, for example, any simple model could happen in a direct sum of K models, not more than once. In this case, this model would be bounded. Okay, there is, so we know that really, wait a minute. From this description, we could easily see that the rate of growth of our model could not be less or equal, could not be lesser than n minus 1. So the dimension of minimal nilpotent orbit is 2 multiplied by n minus 1. And from this inequality, we could easily see that rate of growth for not finite dimensional model could not be less than n minus 1. And the rate of growth could be equal to n minus 1 if and only if the rate of growth of quotient by annihilator is equal to 2 multiplied by n minus 1. So now we want to say something about primitive ideals such that rate of growth of UG quotient by this primitive ideal is 2 multiplied by n minus 1. I claim that morally, so this work was done, but maybe one could do this work, don't understand completely that precisely him do it. So it is a well-known theorem that annihilator, that any primitive ideal is the annihilator of some simple GB model. And it turns out that if we have any simple GB model which rate of growth is precisely equal to n minus 1, or what is really the same for GB models, that rate of growth of annihilator of this model is equal to 2 multiplied by n minus 1, then this model is H-bounded. I think that here it might be funny to present so the way in which one just check it. So here there is, let's call it, okay, if M is a simple SLN H model, and then we could associate to it some variety, associate to it variety V of M. Hence, this is SLN H model. This variety should be orthogonal to H. From the other hand, we know that that this variety V of M should lie in nilpotent orbit of the minimal dimension. And nilpotent orbit of the minimal dimension just consists of tensor products of vectors and covectors. So of matrices of rank 1. So this guy lie in V star, this guy lie in V. So, and this condition just means that if we act by any element of from H on L, it should be orthogonal to V. So we should find all find varieties determined by this equality. One could easily check that these varieties are precisely varieties of vectors L such that here stays something and here stays zero, and for V on places where here stays stars should stay zeros, and where here stays zeros, here should stay star. One could easily check that all such varieties have the same dimension, and moreover, that all such varieties have an open orbit of a maximal torus of SL of a group SLN. Therefore, all such varieties are spherical. And from it swiftly follows that this simple model would be an H-bounded. Okay, so now we know that if we are interested in classification of primitive ideals with the minimal possible associated variety, we should be interested in classification of a simple SLN H models with bounded H multiplicities. Classification of such models was done in work of Oliver Mathieu, and here we presented. So just let's start. Really, we could describe all weights of SLN, all weights of Kartensky algebra of SLN, just as a tuples of numbers. We call such tuple ordered if a difference between two consecutive numbers lambda I and lambda j is a positive integer. We call such tuple semi-ordered if it is not ordered but becomes ordered when we remove one term. We should mention that identification of weights of a Kartensky algebra of SLN and such tuples is not completely is not one-to-one. To one weight correspond class of equivalence of tuples, but one could easily check that this definition does not depend on representative of this class of equivalence. Okay, just result. A simple GB model with the highest weight lambda is bounded if and only if lambda is semi-ordered. Okay, now really we want to somehow understand precisely what is the quotient of UG, of universal Noethlin algebra of SLN by annihilators which corresponds to this semi-ordered tuples. For some of them, there is extremely nice and comprehensible way to do it. So somehow we just relate these quotients with a Weyl algebra. So if W is a space of dimension n, then we could pick a basis and pick an Euler operator here. Then we could consider a centralizer of it and consider centralizer of this Euler operator quotient out by ideal generated by Euler operator minus t. Then we really obtain global sections of twisted differential operators on projective space. And really, it is place from which the Kant notation dt pv. So now this construction leads to the following stuff, that obviously there is a homomorphism from SLN to vector fields on V. And this homomorphism arises to homomorphism from universal non-Noethlin algebra to differential operators on V. One could easily check that SLV commutes with Euler operator. And therefore, it rises to homomorphism from universal non-Noethlin algebra of SLN, of SLV, to centralizer of E in differential operators. And then one could check that the map from USLN to DTPV is surjective for all t. And really, the kernel of this map is precisely an annihilator of significant, really significant piece of ordered, of set of ordered tuples. Okay, now let's try to. So, somehow, problem is so that via this construction, we could not receive all possible annihilators. And we should really just do some more complicated just to obtain all ideals in which we are interested in. Now we try to explain, so what is the kind of this just. It is well known, and it just appears in many places practically simultaneously in, I think, 80s, that one could really do something reasonable just multiplying infinite dimensional G models by a finite dimensional G model. There is many places where practically the same idea appears. We could determine for any finite dimensional model functor FE, which you just multiplied by this finite dimensional model. It turns out that this functor is in the decomposable in general case, but if we restrict our attention to models which afford the same central character, then this functor happens to be decomposable in most cases. So just what does it mean, central character? If we have a simple G model, we could say that this model is really a model over universal Noethlin algebra. Then the action of this universal enveloping algebra would conduce with the action of the center of this universal enveloping algebra. From it follows really that the center of universal enveloping algebra would act by constants, and it determines map from this center to constants. And this map is really a homomorphism of algebras, and we call it the central character. So, one could easily check that the set of central characters is, one could identify the set of central characters with the set of vial orbits on H star, on the set of weights. It turns out that the set of projective functors is naturally, the definition of projective functor. So we know that the functor of multiplication by E is usually decomposable, and we call any direct summand of this functor as projective functor. Okay, the set of central characters identifies the set of vial group orbits on weights, and the set of projective functors identified with a set of vial orbits on pairs of weights, difference of which is integral, really. So then we could just consider such stuff. We could consider a set of projective functors which preserve a given central character, and try to understand, obviously, this set of projective functors form, first of all, a semigroup. Second of all, we have a natural multiplication structure. So if we compose two projective functors, we still obtain a projective functor. So now let's try to at least count number of such functors. So just to let's consider central character associated with with weight associated with this tuple. Yes? If one could check work of Gilfand and Bernstein, and in this famous work, these functors called projective functors. Different people, from time to time, just, from time to time, people suppose that no. For example, they suppose that translation functor should really have not just adjoint, but inverse functors. And here, it is really, for example, translation functors should be not on should not turn any element to zero. And a projective functor could turn some simple model to zero. And moreover, we would be interested in this story. Okay, let's just consider weight associated with this tuple. Then one could easily see that this element has zero stabilizer in vial group. So here we act by permutations, and we have a zero stabilizer. We could and the pair with the, from the same orbit could be completely any element where we permute elements from 1 to n. So obviously there is precisely n factorial such functors. One could easily check just via simple properties of these functors, namely that this stuff commutes with that. Okay, just one could check that really the algebra generated by these functors would be isomorphic to group ring over Z of Sn. So somehow it means that if we consider just say Grothendieck group of models annihilated of models which affords central character associated with this tuple, then this Grothendieck group would carry a natural action of Sn. Just because on this Grothendieck group naturally acts algebra of projective functors, and this algebra of projective functors is isomorphic to ring algebra of Sn. Okay. And now we try to understand, to say more about this action in case where we are interested not in all models of SLN, but in models of SLN of minimal growth. Okay, so just useful notation is that we prefer to denote tuple n from n to 1 as rho. And we prefer to use another notation that if we pick some number sk, then sk is just permutation of k, k plus 1. Okay. Now, really, one could easily borrow from description of Mathieu that there is not so many kinds of semi-ordered tuples. And really, there is even slightly less kinds of tuples which leads to different primitive ideals, which still one could easily borrow from work of Mathieu. Okay, and really, for regular integral central character, we would be interested only in tuples which one obtains from standard tuple via permutation of two consecutive roots. And there are precisely n minus 1 different two-sided ideals associated with this central character. Okay, n minus 1 ideals which are associated to infinite dimensional models, and one additional associated to to one-dimensional simple model. Okay, it turns out that really this annihilators has funny properties. For example, they are submaximal. In a sense that if we have two different ideals which are strictly bigger than both of them, then this two bigger ideals coincide. There is another funny property. So really, there is a translation functor which somehow generates our algebra V of Sn. Namely, we could consider elements of kind k, k plus 1, plus 1. This is an element of this ring. Obviously, a set of such elements generates the whole this algebra. It turns out that to such elements corresponds translation functors from rho to sk rho. Okay, and it turns out that if we consider model annihilated by such construction, then most of these functors equals to zero on it. Just it's some kind of... So the whole this just the translation functor, it is not some mystic. It's just some technique which really could be borrowed from many places, for example, from work of Bernstein and Gilfand. And via this technique, one could easily check this statement. Okay, then we could think about it more and really understand what does it mean for representation of a SEM. So really, we know. Let's consider just set of all models. Of minimal growth. We denote G small. And then what we could say about this set, that any simple model from this set even was annihilated by ideal arrangement, by ideal of this kind. In particular, it means that most of such functors acts on this model as zero. So it means that we could just find something of the sort of candidates for models annihilated by SK, but by this construction, just finding all models which are annihilated by this construction. At least all models which are annihilated by this stuff, annihilated by this stuff, for L non-equal to rho, L non-equal to K. So if a model is annihilated by this stuff, then it is annihilated by this stuff for L non-equal to K. Then we could just said that any simple model lie in VI bar, where VI bar is a set of elements which are stable under multiplication, under action of all elements of all simple permutation except one, except permutation I plus one. So and then we could see that from the previous statement, it follows that if we consider our model generated by, if we consider our space generated by models of minimal rate of growth, then this space of models is a direct sum of this space of VI bar. One could check, and still it is not so complicated computation because we know practically anything about representations of Fn and restrictions of representations of Fn to Fn minus 1. That if a model is a direct sum of such spaces, then this model is a direct sum of simple models Cn minus 1 and C. Okay, and moreover, from it follows that amount of models annihilated by Fk, annihilated by this stuff, is the same for all k, but is not completely obvious, at least for me, from the beginning. So the amount of elements from this set annihilated by this ideal, and so what is this story really somehow about? We have n minus 1 different two-sided ideals associated with one given central character. Okay, and it turns out that the number of interesting simple models is the same for all these n minus 1 ideals. Okay. Now really we want to do such stuff. We recall that the bounded GK model is a model of, is a G model which is as a K model is a which as a K model is a direct sum of simple finite dimensional K models, and any simple model appear in this direct sum not more than some given number of times. So there is a description of pairs SLVK which admits such model. So the pair admits such infinite dimensional simple bounded model if and only if the variety P of V is K spherical. So one could just don't bother himself too much with word spherical and just understand that really the property to have an infinite dimensional simple bounded model is equivalent to some geometric property of action of K on variety P of V. Okay, and somehow let's try to set something more about well-known such pairs, such spherical representations. Namely, if we consider SLW SLV models and such that W is equal to lambda 2V or S2V. So one could really check using really this condition. So now somehow I want to say slightly more about this stuff. Just at the beginning of my talk, I mentioned an inequality. So rate of growth of M is greater or equal than half of rate of growth of UG quotient out by annihilator of M. So if we consider all models of minimal growth, we could talk only about amount. But if we consider some reasonable set of models, say bounded models of some kind, from time to time we could talk about number. And when we talk about number, we could say that last number. Yes. And in some cases, this statement is precise. But when we talk about all models with a minimal growth, we could talk only about amount. Okay. So if a pair GK admits an infinite dimensional bounded model, then rank rate of growth of M should be less or equal than dimension of a Borel subalgebra of K. Composing these two inequalities, we obtain that dimension of BK should be greater or equal than 1/2 of rate of growth of UG quotient by annihilator of M. And this guy is really just dimension of some nilpotent orbit O. So using this inequality for this case, one could easily see that the only possibility for this nilpotent orbit is the nilpotent orbit of the minimal dimension. It's just some kind of computation which anyone here should be able to do. And therefore, the rate of therefore, the rate of growth of quotient by annihilator for all such models should be equal to 2 multiplied by n minus 1. Then, really, we should apply all previous just with translation functors and explicit description of some quotient by some known map from universal Newtonian algebra of SLN to differential operators. And then we could really prove that any DV GLV model, and then just via this, just with translation functors and some time section of SN, we obtain such statements that if the central character of, that anyway, a central character of M should be associated with some semi-ordered tuple. If this tuple is a singular integral or semi-integral, then our model comes from this model, comes via projective functor, which we want to call a translation functor because it would be a piece of equivalence of categories. And in this case, if CM is regular integral, we could have two possibilities. First of all, we still could come from this model via some translation functor. Or it may happen so that we, first of all, should apply some translation functors, some projective functors which corresponds to the action of Fn, and then we should apply translation functor.
So when you say non-translation functor, you mean?
Projective functor, which is a piece of equivalence of categories.
Okay. Yeah.
And in general case, projective functor could not rise to an equivalent of categories. Okay, and then really the problem itself boils down to problem of this, of description of DV GLV models. In this case, the description of DV GLV models somehow goes DW GLV models. In this case, the description of DW GLV models goes via a completely standard approach because the number of GLV orbits on F to V and lambda to V is finite. So the number of GLV orbits here and here. And the whole category of such models are equivalent, categories of such models are equivalent to categories of perverse shifts on W with respect to stratification by GLV orbit. And this configuration was explicitly described in work of Tom Braden and Mikhail Greenberg. And the answer, okay, and I want to just reproduce the answer here. In both these cases, these configurations are equivalent to representations of some quivers with relations. This is the picture for the case W equals to lambda 2V. And the relations are that 1 plus pi qi should be invertible. And that 1 and that pi qi equals to qi plus 1 pi plus 1. So somehow, if we go here and back and add unit, we should obtain invertible matrix, and if we go here and back or here and back, we should obtain the same. This is the first answer. And the second answer is that we should really write down the same quiver, but use different letters. And then really write down relations of the same kind, but slightly more complicated. So somehow here we said that if we go here and add units, we should obtain invertible matrix. We still said that let this would be 1 plus pi j q j, and this should be invertible matrix. And let this be 1 plus q g plus 1 p g plus 1. Then here we said that if we go here, and here, we should obtain the same. Here we said that we should obtain something of this sort, so qj squared equals to eta g squared. And then just in other piece of the same program that we should exchange that here is the same as here, we should apply some kind of relations that eta pi is equal to minus pi eta p is equal to minus p eta, and the same with this one, where here we just should use right indices. One could, and really in the work of Tom Braden and Mikhail Greenberg, the simple objects of this configuration was written down too. I think that's all.